Thank you, Carol. Many times when I was pastoring, she would sing before I'd preach, and always a blessing. And that was a blessing. That's a beautiful old song. Take your Bibles, if you will. I hope you have your textbook or your telephone, whatever. I like the Bible myself. I mean, I like that in my hands, but that's all right. Let's go to Ephesians, if you will, chapter 4. Ephesians 4. And we'll be reading in a moment verses 26 through 32. Again, Pastor, thank you for this opportunity. And it's a blessing to be able to be back and to be here and preach at Worth Baptist. I've been able to preach at a number of other churches when there was a need. And it's always good to get right back here. There are very few churches like this church. There are some other great churches, don't misunderstand me. But as far as I'm concerned, this is a great church. Imperfect, but great. And we're thankful for that. All right. Bitterness is what we're going to talk about tonight. The bondage of bitterness. Did you know that bitterness will ultimately destroy you? I don't care who you are, how long you've been saved. Bitterness will ultimately destroy you. Bitterness, I don't think, is ever right. God does not accept it. Read your Bible. God does not accept our being bitter at someone. Do you have someone tonight? When I say that, it automatically something comes in your mind, your heart. You see, that's something that needs to be dealt with. Something that comes where you feel angry, resentful, or there's some kind of bitterness toward someone because of that. Anger comes out of that. Anger and bitterness will destroy you. Bitterness will affect you physically. Bitterness will absolutely affect your relationship with God. And let's see what God has to say about it in the scriptures here. In Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 26. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Some of you are going to have to hurry up. It's about to get dark. Some of us. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place. That's what it is. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Why did he insert that verse right? That seems out of place. What he's saying is there should be a change. If you get saved, you quit stealing, even though you're a thief. And if you get saved, you don't hold bitterness in your heart, because that's what unsaved people do. So neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You change. You're not trying to get it for yourself and steal it. You're going to make it and help other people out. Then he said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That doesn't necessarily mean using God's name in vain. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. What's that? Building up. We have an edifice we're meeting in tonight. That's the building that was built up. So it is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And this is very important, verse 30. Don't take this lightly. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Because you see, if you grieve the Holy Spirit, you're grieving God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, co-equal. And it is a bad thing to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Once he's in you, he's there, you're sealed, and you can certainly grieve him if you don't do what is right. And then he says, let all bitterness. Now, we have a new Bible, us Independent Baptists, that say, let just about all bitterness. No, that's not what it says in the original or any other version. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. We understand that, don't we? We understand what that means. And then be ye kind one to another, the negative and the positive. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Most anybody reading that, even a little child, should be able to figure out what God is saying in this situation. So what are the causes of bitterness? The causes of bitterness. Sometimes you can usually trace it back to one incident. It depends on what's going on, but at least one incident somewhere in your life where you are bitter about what happened, about what somebody said, what somebody did, ad infinitum, just on and on and on. Maybe you were abused as a child. That's a hard one, to forgive someone when you were a little girl and maybe your father abused you or your stepfather. I remember a lady, I may have shared this with you in the past, but I think it's a good illustration that illustrates a point. But I remember a lady in my church in Connersville, Indiana, and this lady was sort of sick a lot, and she would have headaches, couldn't get rid of her headaches, and all of that kind of thing that she was going through, and the doctors couldn't figure it out, and nothing seemed to help. And I preached a message along these lines, and she called me and came to me and said, I need to get this thing right with my father. My father abused me when I was a little girl. And it's going to be hard, but I need to get it right. By the way, whether they accept it or not, that's not your responsibility. It's your heart that you've got to get right. And she called him and met with him and told him she had forgiven him. And guess what? Honest to God, she started being healthier. Her headaches went away. She had a new look on her face. She had joy in her soul. And she told me how great it was when God gave her the grace to call him and say, I forgive you. And that's a despicable thing. But she did that, and it really changed her life. Sometimes we are abused verbally. My mama came awful close to that sometimes with her switchings. But sometimes we're abused verbally. Sometimes there's physical abuse in one form or the other. Sometimes our reputation is attacked. You ought to be a leader. If you're a leader in public, if you're a pastor or the president of an organization, I was president of the IBFI two and a half, three times, I don't know. And I'm going to tell you, I was lied on. I was misrepresented. The stories were told. It was just crazy stuff out there. And those people, I'm thinking, what's wrong with you, nutcrackers? I'm telling you, you don't need to do that. We don't need that kind of stuff. And it was people who were envious of the position or maybe the way the votes went or whatever. And sometimes they verbally attacked, and none of them ever physically attacked. I was in a meeting one day right up here, over here, in the second floor. This actually happened. And we were in a business meeting. There was a bunch of preachers in there. And as you know, preachers are not perfect. But in this case, these two are really not perfect. And one guy disagreed over here with the other guy, and this guy disagreed with him. And they were fussing over the thing, and all of a sudden, one preacher pulled his coat off and threw and said, let's go out back and settle this. I thought, praise God, that's spiritual. And I was moderating that thing. I was like, you dummies. you need to get your heart right with God. They didn't go out and fight. I was glad we told them not to, and they didn't. But isn't that silly? The one was going to attack the other one physically. Sometimes it's lies and misrepresentation and all of that. Maybe you got cheated out of a promotion at work. And you should have had it, but that guy got it. Anybody probably who's worked in a factory has experienced that one time or the other. Or you may have been the joker that did the wrong. But at any rate, that happens out there. And people get promotions when they really shouldn't get it. And people who should have gotten it didn't. And sometimes they get very bitter. Sometimes when you're left out of a will, people get mad and angry about it. And people fight over those things. And I should have gotten this or I should have gotten that. I remember my brother, I lived in Indiana. My mother passed away. My brother lived here in Texas, and he beat me home. And before I ever got there, he gave away everything my mama had promised me and written down on a yellow sheet of paper. But I forgave him. It took a while, but I did forgive him. But sometimes people fall out over that kind of thing. Hey, let God handle that. Sometimes a family member can hurt you, and they can really hurt you. I'm just giving you some illustrations of some of these things that happen. Sometimes you can really be mistreated by a mate. Sometimes a mate has mistreated you. Maybe your wife turned her back on you and went out with someone else and ended the marriage. Or maybe it's the other way around. And it's hard in those situations to forgive somebody. But we've got to do what the Bible says. No matter how hard it is, we must go by the Word of God. I've known people that got mad at God because of their health situation. God, why are you doing this to me? What have I done wrong? I'm a tither and I go to church and I do this, that, and the other, and they get bitter at God. I remember one man, even since I came to this church years ago, and he was so bitter at God. And I asked somebody, I said, well, what happened to him? And they said, he came for a special day. And they said, well, what happened to him was he thought he was going to have enough money and he was going to be able to buy a tremendous ranch. He'd always wanted a ranch all his life. And somehow that whole deal fell through. And guess what he did? He got mad at God and quit coming to church. Now, that isn't a smart thing to do. Some people get bitter at God. How in the world do we think we have a right to get bitter at Almighty God? We don't have a right to get bitter at God. That's a foolish thing to do. Sometimes because a loved one is lost or whatever it might be. You've been embarrassed or humiliated. And so what happens is self prevails. And listen, a lot of times it may not be misinformation. Sometimes it's just the way it was perceived. Sometimes it was just mistaken. Sometimes it had nothing to do with the way it was interpreted. And so all of these things enter into it. And then self prevails. And then in our text, he's talking about other people. We act like we're unsaved. We act like we're unbelievers when we really should forgive people. Now, what are the consequences of bitterness? Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Now listen to this. And thereby many be defiled. You say, well, I'm bitter and I have a right to be bitter, and that's my business. No, when you're bitter, it affects other people. It affects other people in your family. It affects other people in the church. It affects people where you work, all around, maybe at the college, whatever it is. Bitterness, he's saying, thereby it springs up. It troubles you, it springs up, and thereby many be defiled. Many are defiled. We don't want to be doing that, defiling people. Bitterness bears a lot of bitter fruit with it. Many times they've traced heart problems and blood pressure and glands problems and ulcers and all of that. And we become hostile and tense and stressed. All of those things. All because of bitterness. Bitterness is like an acid working on you. It's not hurting that other person. It's really not hurting them. It's just hurting you. And sometimes that's the way it is. Medical doctors have often said in the medical profession, they recognize the connection between some serious diseases and real bitterness. It is a medical fact. There are also not only physical consequences, but obviously there's going to be spiritual consequences. One of the things that often happens when somebody gets bitter is they begin to doubt their salvation. And then their testimony is really hurt. It hurts the cause of Christ when a Christian is bitter and they're vocal about it and they don't get it right in their heart. And we see the difference in the attitudes of some of those people, and we've got to understand that we are wrong in that. And it affects us spiritually. And it affects our children. It affects our families and those that we are around. Now, what's the cure for bitterness? The cure for bitterness. I was told since we have food, I need to hurry tonight. So, but I don't listen to Keith anyway. So anyway, I don't like to call people out, but that was just came out. You know, when somebody tells me that, you know what I do? I add 5 minutes just like that. Not really. The cure for bitterness, let me tell you who the greatest lover in the world is. It's Jesus. Amen. The greatest forgiver. The greatest forgiver ever is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you say, well, you don't know how I've been hurt. Well, how do you think Jesus was hurt? Don't you think he was hurt? How did Jesus respond? Father, forgive them. When you got saved, honestly, and I know we have to deal with it, and sometimes we have to just cut it out and deal with it, but when you got saved, honestly, you and I forsook the right to be bitter. When we got saved, I know that's heavy stuff, and I know a lot of people say, I don't know about that. Read your Bible. Just read the Bible and see what God said about it. And so we look at the life of Christ and we learn a whole lot. But when you got saved, you forsook the right to bitterness. Now there's some practical steps, real practical steps for a solution. Let me give you a little homework to do. Make a list over here of all the ways you've been offended. Put it over here on this side. Then on the other side, make a list of all of your faults and all the people you have offended. And see if you can't sort of get a different perspective on the whole thing. Because I think that works. Make a list of what God has forgiven you for. Oh, my. Anybody want to come up here and let's just have a sharing time and tell everything God has forgiven us for ever since we were born into this world? I don't think so. I really don't. But God has forgiven us. Amen. Thank God. It's under the blood. He's removed it. He's forgiven us. Then ask God to help you view that person as a tool to develop you. That's sort of coming around the back door, but that's true. Sometimes God will use that situation in your life to help you grow in the Lord and bring you closer to the Lord, and it will develop you spiritually and make you more mature. That's a little hard. Then ask God to forgive you of those things. You know what happens? You experience freedom and you experience a relief from bondage. And I know very well that in preaching a message like this, I'm speaking to a lot of people that have some anger, some bitterness from things that have happened in your life in the past. You say, well, preacher, they're already in heaven or wherever they went, and I can't go to them and forgive them. But you can get your heart right. You can tell God and let God handle that and say, God, I now, even though they're gone, I forgive them. We ought to be kind like Jesus. Right? Don't you think we ought to be kind like Jesus? He was so kind. We ought to just be like Jesus. The leper would come to him. And everybody would say, the disciples, everyone else, get away, get away, get away from him. You can't come up to Jesus. You can't touch him. You got to cry that you're unholy and unclean, unclean. How did the leper get to Jesus, by the way, through all the crowds? Wasn't any problem, because when he started, they just went all around, made a circle around him. But how did Jesus treat him? He touched him and healed him. Amen. That's the kindness of our Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples were fussing about the little children. I love little children, don't you? And I love to see them running around here. Not getting too rough, but I like to see them run around and all. And I love little children and always have. But Jesus loved little children too. the disciples said, get away from here, kids. This is not your place. And Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he put his arms around them, I think, and let them sit on his lap and told them a good old Bible story. Jesus shows us how to be kind. That was part of his DNA. And since we are like him, it ought to be part of ours. And the hungry crowds came. Here those disciples again. Must have been Baptists. And they said, we don't have the money to feed them. We can't feed them all of that. How in the world are we going to do that? That's their fault. They should have brought food. They should have brought some sardines and a sandwich and something and had that. Jesus said, no. Set them down. And then I'm going to feed 5,000 men plus the women and their children. Because he was kind. That was Christ's DNA. And that's what he did. What about on the cross, his death? When he was there and around him, there was thieves on each side. One was giving him a hard time and making fun of Jesus. And the other one had enough sense to ask him to forgive him. But here were these thieves on the cross. And here was a bunch of people out here in the front of the Lord Jesus Christ who had him crucified, who was still hollering at him and making bad statements about him and giving him a hard time and really doubting the Lord Jesus Christ. All of that was happening and they were reviling him. And what did he say? Get him, Father. Kill him. No, that's the Baptist way. He said this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, that's kindness. That's our Savior. That's our, supposed to be, our Lord. And the Lord, if he is Lord, will be Lord and we'll be like him. We'll want to do what he says to do. And so that was what he said. He looked down and he saw John and he said, John, behold your mother. I mean, he's dying on the cross. John, behold your mother. And then he said to his mother, behold your son. That's kindness. He was saying, I want my mama taken care of. I want her to be taken care of. She's not a co-redeemer with Jesus, but he loved his mother. That was his mother. And he was so kind to her. And he was kind in his life. The Lord Jesus Christ was kind, so kind in his death. The centurion looked up and said, surely. He saw all of that happen and said, truly, this man is the Son of God. A burly, big, muscled up, cruel-hearted Roman soldier. Surely, this is... You know what? I think it was his kindness that made him say that when he saw all that was going on. Now, in Ephesians 5:1, he said, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. We're supposed to be followers of God as dear children, right? As dear children. So, we're to do what God says. The Greek word there is mimetai, and it means, we get our word mimic and imitate God from that. In 1 John 4:8, what does it say? God is what? Hate? God is bitter? God is angry? And God does get angry, but God is love. That's what he's saying in a relationship with mankind. God is love. And going back to our text, verse 32, he says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. If we can accept the forgiveness of God, then we ought to be able and willing to be like Christ and forgive other people, no matter what they've done, to forgive them, leave them in the hands of God, and God will take care of it. We are to mimic the Lord Jesus Christ in those areas. So if you have some unforgiveness in your heart tonight, I would plead with you to hit the altar or do business where you are and ask God to deal with that and forgive you and mean it and really come to grips with the fact that God is not pleased if we do not forgive one another, and God expects us to do that. God does not expect us to live in bitterness. It's right there in the Bible. It's as plain as can be that we're to love each other, and God is love, and we're to forgive each other, even as Christ has forgiven us. Have you ever done anything that Christ forgave you for? Of course you have. All of us have. Aren't you glad he forgives us? Where would we be if he wouldn't forgive us? We'd be on our way to hell. But thank God he forgives us. And we need to be willing to forgive no matter what has happened to do that. And if you're here without Christ tonight, may I say he's kind and he loves you and he will forgive you. And he'll do just like he did when he saved the thief on the cross. He'll save you tonight right here if you'll come to him. He is love. He loves you. He wants you to come. And he is more than willing to forgive you. And Christian, God has forgiven us. And we ought to practice that. That ought to be part of our spiritual DNA, that we forgive people. We all have little quarrels once in a while, but bitterness and anger building up, keeping it in our heart, staying there, that's wrong. That's unbiblical. God will not bless that. So whatever it takes to make that right, if there's anything that you need to make right tonight about it all, then do it and let God speak to your heart about it. Let's stand, please. And I want to appeal to you to come tonight if God's spoken to you. There's a spiritual need. Whatever it may be, come. If you're lost, let me promise you, God loves to forgive and he'll forgive you. Come and accept him as your Savior. Father, as we come to you in prayer, Lord, I know this is one of those arenas where it's very difficult for Christians to really obey the Word of God. Pride is such a mean thing that enters into it. And Father, I pray that you'll just help us to die to the self-willed way of life and to forgive others no matter what. Forgive them. And God, to clear our hearts before you. And we thank you, dear God, as believers, for forgiving us. We may need to confess something tonight to you that's wrong in our lives. And we have the confidence that you will forgive us as your children. So have mercy on us. Help us to be honest with you and the Holy Spirit and not grieve him. In Jesus' name, amen.